we're just going to talk about financial integrity. And I believe that when we learn that first things first will lead us into a life of financial integrity, financial blessings, because we were created and God has blessed us to be a blessing. And when we learn that if we get into God's covenant, that's kingdom living. Because it's not just about money, because we need to know how God acts, and we need to act like God acts. He works through his people. And so the title might seem a little bit strange, Financial Integrity, but I'm just going to share a few little things that I learned growing along the way as a young child. It may seem like a strange title for a Sunday morning, but my dad taught me at a very young age some very simple biblical principles. Number one, I learned to tithe and to give. I remember on Sunday mornings, we were always given some money, and back then we had a penny march. And I know that I'm telling my age close, but I learned by watching videos or something, I'm sure. But no, I actually did the penny march. Is there anybody here that did penny marches when you were a kid? Oh, well, see, I'm not. Yeah, there you go. Several of you. But somehow, my parents had money to give me for that penny march. And we did it publicly. As children, they would give us change. And we were excited to have something to give in the penny march. And I know it's a little different today, but there was something that got implanted into me about giving. I was always excited to have something to give. And I loved what Nixon preached this morning, because what he did, he took an example of 10 dimes and he took out a dime, and that's set apart for God. Isn't that simple? 90 cents you get to spend. Well, when it's $10, we know that if we give God the first tenth, that will be a dollar, and we get nine. Well, let me tell you something. When you get all the way up, and if you keep giving, and you even throw in on that first dime dollar, 10 dimes, but when you will learn to take that first one, which is how much, Nixon, that first one? 10 cents. But now, how about if you learn to give an offering with that? How about if you think, you know what? I'm going to give 5 cents today. You just started something. You just went over from the giving back to God out of honor and covenant to going into Malachi, where it says that where have you cheated me? You have cheated me in your tithe. Number one, you can't give an offering you can give an offering, but you're not in covenant until you learn to tithe. Because tithing will break off selfishness. And giving will lead us into a life, kingdom living, that is, there's nothing like it. It's a joy, because then you quit worrying about how am I going to make it. And know that you're going to make it, and then you're going to begin to give and be able to set aside money and be able to give to areas and places that you never would have thought of before. But I learned that. My daddy taught me. I learned how to tithe an offering. I didn't know that we were poor. I really didn't know we were poor. You know why? Because I didn't catch poor from my parents. They threw me something. Besides poor, we gave anyway. And we always had food. We might not have had much, but we always had food, and they didn't talk about what we didn't have. Parents, be careful what you tell your kids. You can make your kids poor in the mind by what you speak over them and to them about, we don't have enough for this, or we can't do that because of finances. Why don't we begin to tell them right now we don't need to do that, but pray about it or find some way to help us do that. But don't plant in them poverty, because a poor spirit a poverty spirit can get upon us, and we think we can't turn loose of anything, because if we turn loose of it, we won't have enough. And that's not kingdom living. That's not good. I didn't know that I was poor. But number two, I was taught to pay my bills. I learned it early about worth ethics. It's good for your kids to work. They need to learn how to have a job. They need to learn how to empty the dishwasher. They need or wash the dishes. We had to wash them and dry them. And my brother, he was mean. Paul was mean. Yeah, I know you're listening, Paul. You were. You'd take that dish towel and you'd wind it up if I was washing dishes. And you like nothing better than to flip me with it. And then the war was on. But you need to teach your children. Now, grandparents, I know if you have the child and you're raising it, then you need to teach them. And that's hard. Hey, I taught my kids, and so I spoil my grandkids. But I want their parents to teach them how to work. And, Max, I'm glad your mom and dad are hard on you, because I know I'm not. But I was taught to pay my bills. I was taught financial integrity. I'll never forget, I was a young married woman, and we needed tires for our car. And I'll never forget my father taking me to this little service station. You know, I was raised in the day of service station. You got your gas, and the attendant came out and put the gas in. And right next to it was the garage where they put on tires and they changed your oil. Or most of the time, my dad did that. Most people, men back then did. The cars weren't so complicated. But anyway, I remember I needed tires. And he said, well, darling, I want you to come with me. We're going to go get you some tires. And I remember going to the shop. And he told this man, he said, my daughter needs a set of tires, and she will pay you. She'll be in here every week to pay you. She's got a job. She'll be in here every week to pay you. And he also taught me that if by some reason you don't have that money, you get in there and you tell that man that you don't have quite enough this week because your groceries were a little more, this or that. He taught me to not avoid. Don't avoid paying your bills. Isn't this good stuff this morning? This is so practical. But my daddy taught me, and parents, are you teaching your children and your grandchildren to tithe? Don't cheat them out of that. Don't cheat them that way. Teach them. Amen. This is good stuff, Carl, because we need this. Our children, they don't need poverty spoken over them. If you don't teach them to give, they're going to think poorly. I don't care how rich they get out there in the world. They'll always think poorly because they think that what they do, and they'll never be able to do enough to make life happen right. The riches will never fulfill them. But when they've learned how to give and be a liberal soul, a liberal heart, that wants to touch other people, it'll change their life. But the lessons that my parents taught me, I learned something because I was in covenant with God that I would never, ever have to be broke. I don't have to be broke. I'm not broke. I've never been broke. Because when I got down to the last $1 in my billfold, I could find more. There's piggy banks. There's monies. It changed. But it was never necessary because I do not think broke. And I told my children, I will never be broke. I said it over and over. I will never be broke because my God, I'm in covenant with my God. And my God said that he will take care of me. That if he can take care of the lilies of the fields and the birds of the air, how much more will he take care of those that love him and believe in him and trust him and are in covenant with him? The only way we can be in covenant is be obedient to his word. The lesson at the tire shop helped me when I needed a little grace from someone. Now, I remember the day I needed a little grace until I got paid on Friday. I remember a little corner store. Now, I know, honey, I'm telling you stories that are back when you guys think it was black and white, and it was. There was no color TVs, I promise you. I know, I look great for 90, right? Anyway, I remember that there was a little country corner store where we had an account. And you go pay that when you got paid. You go pay that bill when you got paid. I remember a $9 bill for groceries. That was a lot back in the day. My goodness, it'd take us $300 today, you know, to do that. But that would be my week's groceries. And I remember having that $9 that I owed them. And I remember that for some reason, I didn't quite have enough. But I took them what I had and I said, I will be back next week and I will pay. I will finish paying. I want to tell you something. Don't ignore the people that you owe. Be women and men and children of integrity. If we owe somebody something, we don't avoid them. If we can't pay it, we go tell them, I need a little bit more grace, but I will be back. It means a lot. My daddy taught me that. If I didn't have enough, go face to face and let them know. Don't avoid. He taught me to integrity, have integrity, and girl up. Be a woman of God. Be a man of God. He did. He told me to girl up. When my children and I were left alone, and when we didn't have a house we could get back into, I didn't have a car, didn't have a job. We won't go into the job thing because I did finally get one, selling cheese. I did. For a whole day, I sold cheese. And I did really good, but I was away from my kids. And at that time, I couldn't handle it emotionally, and neither could they. But anyway, I walked into a bank that had carried our bus. Remember, we traveled on a bus. And they carried our bus, and they carried our house loan. They knew me. They knew my integrity. And without any collateral or any promises of anything, I didn't have a job, remember? But I sat down in front of a banker that knew me and knew my integrity. And he said, I said, I need a car. He said, have you looked at any cars? And I said, well, yeah, I was shown two or three. He said, well, whatever you need. He said, you go get you a car. See, the favor of the Lord will follow God's kids. I can look throughout life and see the favor of God upon me. But it's the integrity of our hearts. It's a heart thing. Do you know we don't tithe because we don't trust? My young girl lessons, I promise you, will be out in 8 minutes. Help me when, as a Solid Rock administrator, if we were short on our church payment, I would go see the banker. Dan knew me well. I would go down and I would say, this is what we got this week, but we'll get it. He said, oh, don't you worry. You're going to get it. You'll be just fine. But I learned integrity in my finances. If you struggled all your life, guess what? God wanted you to be here today. He wanted you to hear the testimonies of the little ones. He wanted you to hear Louis and what God's doing in his life. He wanted you to hear the message that's going forth. What does it mean to put God first? I'm going to skip over a whole bunch because I told you I'd quit at noon. It means that one of the things that I found out about God, he would always give seed to the sower. Remember, he does that. We seek the kingdom of God first, the things of God. We seek the things of God first, and then his righteousness, which means his rightness, which means he thinks right. And he's righteous. And his righteousness, he allows us, if we seek his righteousness, because we know ours is as filthy rags, but his righteousness operating in and through us, then he will add the things of our life that we need. What does it mean to put God first? C.S. Lewis said this. I want you to see it. He said, put first things first, and second things will be thrown in. In other words, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. And if you want to read the passage of scriptures, please do so, where seek ye first the kingdom of God, and you'll find out it's talking about money, about the things of God. But he said, and then he says, put second things first, and you will lose the first and the second things. If we wonder why we got holes in our pockets, could it be? Could it be that we've made good money, but we've squandered it because we haven't been in covenant with God? We're not trying to get your money. We're trying to get you well. We're trying to get your soul to prosper. It's not a checklist of adding something else to do, but it's about our heart being Godward. It's about my heart aligning with his heart. Matthew 6:24 says this, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. We can be enslaved to money and not even know that we are. You're enslaved to money if you feel like you can't afford to tithe. It's good that you give big gifts from time to time, but you're only tipping God. And God says, I want my children to be in covenant with me. And there's something about being in covenant that is a trust that you can't get otherwise. Jesus was talking about money here. He was basically saying money has power. It's a master, and we can be enslaved by it. Jesus doesn't need our money, but he talked a lot about money because he knew that what we do with our money demonstrates what we actually believe. See, money is simply a means of exchange, and that is a fact. It is our means of exchange. Money is fungible. You can trade money for many things. You can use it to buy comfort. You can buy that comfort, but that comfort isn't going to give you peace. You can use it to control outcomes. Money's not a bad thing if you know how to control it and it doesn't control you. Money is countable. You can see how much you have. Money is storable. You can save it for later. I have 3 minutes. With money, you can hold on to it. You can use it, or you can store it up, or you can lose it. Jesus is pointing out that money can bring you a sense of security and comfort, but you can also be enslaved by it, because we have to learn to trust God, not our money. Well, there was a really good Old Testament story, but stand to your feet. Because we have to learn to put ourselves, we have to learn to put God first, not ourselves. You know, today, could it be possible that we have allowed ourselves to be first? Is Dylan still here, or did he? Where you at, Dylan? All right, Dylan, would you come on up? And we have to ask, are we putting ourselves first? Are we paying our bills first? Are we taking care of what we think is first? Or are we putting God first? Because if we put God second, we will find out, just like the Israelites did in the Old Testament when they were in exile. They came back from exile and their temple and all was destroyed. But instead of rebuilding the temple, they began to build their own houses. There was nothing wrong with them having their houses fixed. That was, you know, God wanted them to do that. But they put themselves before they put the house of God together. We need the house of God. We need to be able to come in and worship. We need that place. But they put themselves first and God second. They were putting ours in, and because of what they did, Haggai 1:6 says, you've planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. In other words, it's saying they were putting ours in. The gardens weren't producing. Have you ever felt like I just work and work and work, but nothing's working? Investing their money, but returns aren't coming. Verse 9 says, you expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord God Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, which each of you is busy with your own house. See, God is a God of covenant, and he won't bless disobedience. We're not to seek the kingdom of ourself, but we're to seek the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. See, God wants you to have all the things to bring you to the destiny that he has for you. Second Corinthians 9 and 10. Now he provides seed for the sower and bread for food, which will provide and multiply your seed for sowing. That's your resources. And increase the harvest of righteousness, which itself is active goodness, kindness, and love. Don't eat your seed. Tithe is not your seed. Tithe is your covenant with God to take care of the house of God. Seed is what you sow. And seed will cause your harvest to grow. And I promise you that your seed is greater than your need. Because sometimes we don't have enough to meet the need. Anytime that we've gotten in a hard place in our life, or in this church, we sow a seed and another seed. And I'm telling you, it works. Tithing is your start. I'm not saying this for, and I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just telling you, you know why I tell you my stories? I tell you how good God is to me. But Daryl and I always tithe more than we make. We tithe towards the goal of what we want to make. And then we double our tithe with our seed. Our offering is always as big or bigger than our tithe. Always. I'm just telling you, you can be jealous of us and say, "What?" I'm telling you what we do is we are investing in the kingdom of God, and we believe in the principle of seed time and harvest. We believe in the favor of God upon our life because it's true. In closing, I want to tell you one more story. Now, this is after 3, but I'm 12:03, but I'm not preaching now. I'm just telling a story, okay? Good job. I'm closing my Bible iPad, over and done. But the goodness of God, worship team, would you come? We're going to sing about the goodness of God this morning. But years ago, I just want to tell you, you know, I could tell you story after story after story of the goodness of God and how God has showed up in my life, in my children's life. We were traveling in the bus And we had been to Eugene, Oregon. And we just had a wonderful time in that area singing and ministering. And one of the things that it always did when we'd get, our weekend was over, the first thing that I would do, and some of our offerings were really very small. We'd go to a church sometime that it would be better. But still, God provided for us always. But I'd always take the tithe out first, always. And we set it aside. Our children, do you know I have three children that traveled with me? They might not be in church every Sunday, but their tithe will be there. They learned it as a principle. They learned how to give to God. Because I didn't want them to think they were poor because they don't serve a poor God. I didn't want them to think that there was a provision. I didn't want them to believe that they had to be broke. I didn't want them to hear about broke all the time. I wanted them to hear about a God that sustains and a God that will take care of them. And we didn't have a lot of money set back, but the Lord spoke to me. Because I had, back then you had to send money orders, you know. You had to, that's how we had to do business, you know. But the Lord spoke to my heart to send $200. That was a lot of money. Let me tell you, that was a lot of gas in that bus. That was a lot of fuel for us. But God spoke to my heart to send this evangelist $200. And it kind of, you know, was one of those things. Did I hear you, God? But it did. So the first thing on that Monday morning after our weekend and after us being, before we started out south, was to send off that $200 to that evangelist. We went on down the road, and some of you have heard this story before. But we went, and it may be in my book. I don't really know. I don't remember what's in there. But anyway, we started on down, and we got down, and I think the name of, I bet Rob would know. But it was in Northern California, and it was a rest area. And I think it was like Eureka or Wairika, or do you know where that's at? It's way up north. I don't remember what the city was right at the moment. But there was a rest area there. And right before we got to that rest area, our bus broke down. We were able to get into the rest stop. And our bus was in big trouble. But we parked in there, did two things. We didn't know anybody in the area, nothing. And we called the pastor where we had been. And we just asked him, do you happen to know anybody in the city where it's close to that we can call and get some help that can come and look at the bus and see what we need done? Because we knew we were in trouble. And he said, well, let me think about it. We'll talk, you know, call me in the morning. When we got up, actually, I believe within 2 to 3 hours, we had a knock on our door. And there was a man and woman we had never seen in our lives standing at that door with bags of groceries. I'll never forget that ham. It was the best ham we'd ever had. But they brought all kinds of groceries. And they said, we heard that you could use a little bit of help. And they said, we live, I don't know how far it was, but after a while, or tomorrow, I want you to come down, use our showers, and eat with us. And we knew that, I knew, God, you got this. I'm in covenant with you. My children are in covenant with you. We're in covenant with you. We went on to bed, praising God, thanking God this was good. We still didn't know what we was going to do. When we woke up the next morning, well, probably we probably got woke up by the knock. There was another knock on the door. And it was some men from the church we had been, mechanics. And they said, "We're here to fix your bus." We didn't pay for any, not one penny on that bus to get it fixed. And it was a lot. And we were there a week, broke down, and they stayed. I'm telling you about the favor of God. When you get in covenant with God, you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You may not know where it's coming from, but you can trust your faith in God that He's not going to leave you sitting in a rest area for years without a way out. He's not going to do that. He's always got a provision. And I'll never forget that time. And one of those days, there was a big, beautiful bus pull up next to us. The Thomas family. Singers. And of course, you could see our bus was all broken down all over the place. They knocked on our door. And they said, "Here, we just want to bless you. Oh, God's been good to me and my kids. He's never failed. And He never will." You can sing whatever you want. What if you don't feel that one? I said, you sing whatever you feel. But I want you to know, and maybe today, maybe you haven't been in covenant. You say, "God, I am sorry. I am so sorry that I didn't trust you enough, that I was trusting in my own ability to make. I made that money. I'll give what I want." Yeah, you can do that. But I'm telling you, you haven't lived until you start giving and it gets fun. Yes, I get excited to give. I have a habit. I'm addicted. I'm addicted to giving. And you know what? God supports my habit. Yes. He supports my habit and He will support your habit. Because the kingdom of God is alive and well. I'm not stingy and neither are you. My God is not stingy. But maybe today, you may say, "I have been falling short. Thank you, God, for moving on my heart. Thank you for these young people that are getting it. Thank you for those that are saying yes." And by the way, as soon as service is over, we have upstairs in the loft, we have meet and greet today. And that's for any of you that have come within the last 6 months or whatever, and we haven't had the opportunity to meet with you. Please go upstairs for a few minutes. Please go up. Let us just say hi to you and love on you for a few minutes. But maybe today you sat and you listened to Sarah's teaching and Nixon's teaching, and you listened to Carissa. And you listened to Louie. And then I come up and just threw a little bit of the... But you've heard something today about the faithfulness of God. And there's nothing any more spiritual than your money. Money. Maybe natural. But it's the one thing that the devil will trip you up on more than anything, and integrity in your money. Let's be women and men of yes. Let our yes be yes and our nay be nay. When we tell somebody we'll do something, even if it's not about money, be true to your words. But you can say, "I believe God and I believe His word, but I can't trust Him with my tithe and my offering." And God is saying, the vision that I have for you is so much bigger than what you can grab a hold of yourself. He says, "I want you to live in my kingdom. I want you to understand." And if today you feel like God is just, there's no shame in it. There is no shame in it. It just means that I made a decision today that I'm traveling different. because he said he'd give seed to the sower, and I'm a sower. I'm going to sow. I'm going to tithe, and I'm going to sow seeds into the kingdom of God so that more and more people are going to be reached around the world. If that's you, come.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence.